Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everyone, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today we have we're having a civil rights forum. We're going to play some music till everyone gets here. We're going to be talking about some topics that are affecting the community. Qualified immunity, affirmative action, police brutality, police murder, elections, gerrymandering, and reparations. So we're going to play some music till everyone gets here.
You're my sunshine, you brighten my day. Cause you're all my soul fire, yeah, you brighten my day.
Been around the world, played a lot of games. It's been the depth of my heart, you the one to blame. I'm looking deep into your eyes, I can see the future. Ain't no me without you, and that's the damn truth. You got me pouring out my heart in this fucking booth. And you're just like candy with a sweet tooth. A little bit of you, just wonders for the soul. The better half of me will never grow old.
You're my sunshine, you brighten my day. Cause you're all my soul fire, yeah, you brighten my day.
A dark night like this, I really need you here. I'm lost without you. Come and save me, dear. My superwoman in my life, ain't no need to feel. The brightest thing in the world, let your little light shine. One of a kind, I'm really glad to say you're mine. You're the only one that keep the inner beast in line. My time will never be wasted with you. With you, it's always something to do.
You're my sunshine, you brighten my day. Cause you're all my soul fire. Yeah, you brighten my day.
Sunshine, you make everything better. Summer rays, ain't no more stormy weather. All mine, you the end to the story. Take it to church, make the people say glory. Seen a lot of women, dated quite a few. But I ain't never met nobody quite like you. So
hello everyone, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Tonight we're supposed to have on Show Talk with Angela Butler Attorney Peden from Alabama. Attorney Peden from Alabama, was to have him. We're also supposed to have U.S. Virgin Islands former senator and former U.S. Agricultural Commissioner, Mr. Positivnev, who's now currently advisor to the governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands. We're supposed to have Attorney Sharice Lee Williams on Show Talk with England, Mayor Evelyn Wynn Dixon of Riverdale, Georgia, the Alabama NAACP, Mr. Bernard Templeton, and Bishop G, President of Black Wall Street, and Reverend Lionel Gant of Southern Christian Leadership Conference and his own organization, Stop the Violence and Incarceration. All right, everyone. I will have everyone announce themselves one at a time. Mr. Gulton, Bishop G is on Show Talk.
Yeah, it's Dr. G. F. D. Guyton. I'm in Houston, Texas, representing Black Wall Street, Texas.
All right. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Bernard Simulton, president of the Alabama State Conference of the NAACP.
Reverend Lionel Gant, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I'm here. I'm Pastor Lionel Gant, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Atlanta, Georgia, SCLC Stop the Violence and Incarceration Campaign.
All right. So we have you gentlemen on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'd like to start by addressing some issues. Okay, somebody else just announced themselves with 314 area code. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Rhonda Frazier, and I would like to talk about justice for my brother, Terrence Lamar Frazier, who was killed.
Let me finish. All right, everybody is still calling in. I'm going to let Ms. Frazier talk. She's calling from the general public. one of the people from the general public who's calling in. So I'm going to let her say something, okay?
Thank you. My cousin received a phone call from Montgomery, Alabama, July 5th, 2022, informing her of my brother's death. So she got in contact with me. I'm his only surviving closest relative. Our mother and father is deceased. So she got in contact with me, and I called Montgomery, Alabama police to see what was going on. They had told me my brother had died of a heart attack, and I told them my brother didn't have any heart problems, you know. So I told them that we was going to come down there to view and see the body because I just had talked to my brother, and he was perfectly fine. So when I get down there, I'm coming from St. Louis, driving all the way to Alabama to see my brother's body to, you know, to see him, and they told me that I couldn't see him. I didn't understand it. I had the complete paperwork they said I had to have, and they told me I couldn't see him. So, okay, so I left there and went to his place of residence. His baby mother was there cleaning out blood out of her car and everything. So I got out the car to see what was going on. It was blood all on the front porch and everything. A witness came and talked to me, you know, and asked me, was I his sister? And I told her, yeah. She told me, don't believe everything I heard because it was blood all through the house in every room of the house except the kids' room. And he was found outside his house, butt naked and bleeding from the mouth. I didn't understand why was he butt naked if he had a heart attack. It was not taped off or anything, you know. So I had questions. They told me he died from a heart attack. The witness told me it was a gun involved. And, you know, it's just they've been giving me the runaround. They won't tell me anything, you know. That's why I'm understanding. If he died from a heart attack, why was homicide called?
All right. Thank you, Ms. Fraser. The attorneys that were calling have not called in, but I thank you for calling in. All right. One of the first things I like to talk about is qualified immunity for police officers. I'd like to direct this to Mr. Samilton of the NAACP. What is the NAACP doing, or if they can do anything about qualified immunity for the police?
Okay. Thank you, Angela, for that question. It's a great question. And it's a question, issue that we have dealt with for many, many years. And police officers should not receive qualified immunity. And I realize that a lot of people think that, well, they don't have qualified immunity, then they can't do their job. But if they're doing their job properly and following their own guidelines and policies, then they don't have anything to worry about. Now, NAACP has for many years fought against qualified immunity, not only on the national level, but on the local level, dealing with our local police department, our local sheriff department, as well as our state legislators, you know. But right now, you know, there are still a lot of jurisdiction police, sheriff departments that still hold that police officers should receive qualified immunity. Now, we had a situation in Decatur, Alabama, where a police officer shot and killed a man, and he has been held and charged with the individual's murder. And so, you know, but it just has to be so clear cut that they can't do anything else. So we need the public to assist us by speaking out and demanding from their police department, from their law enforcement department, to stop allowing law enforcement officer have qualified immunity and not be prosecuted for crimes that they commit.
All right. Reverend Gant, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and your own organization, Stop the Violence and Incarceration. What are you all doing about what are your stance? What is the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Reverend Gant, and Stop the Violence and Incarceration, your own organization stance on qualified immunity for the police?
Accountability. We're all being accountable for all of their actions, regardless of the situation. Violence, you know, when we're talking about using lethal violence, there has to be a reason. There has to be a pattern where it leads to that. Okay, every case has to be assessed on its merits. We understand that they have a job to do, and sometimes it calls for them to, to use force in order to calm down the situation. But taking a person's life, that should be the very last thing that should be done. And right now we're talking about accountability. They have to be accountable for their action.
Okay. If I pronounced your name wrong, please tell me, Mr. Galton, Black Wall Street.
Just call me Dr. G so you won't continue to mispronounce my name. It's just easier to say Dr. G.
Thank you.
I appreciate
so
that. No, no. But in listening to the young ladies, we feel your heart. And, we see what Black Wall Street, we're a kingdom movement. And what we bring in, who we bring on the scene, is him who's able to make all grace abound, him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask to think according to the power that's at work within us now. Mm-hmm. And right now, and I understand what's going on, but I'm telling you, their arms are too short to box with God. And the word of God simply says that vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will repay. So we'll bring the balance to what's going on here by bringing him, Abba Father, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, in order to address that area. And he could go and work in on the other side. We know what man says, but we also know that this is what he says according to his word. And I tell you, it has to be somebody that will come in and bring that kingdom perspective in order to really get some action in reference to moving forward. And where there is unjust, he brings the justice. He brings the balance. He brings the victory for you on your behalf. God will not allow that enemy, that devil, to continue to go in and do that type of stuff and think he's getting away with it. Yeah, we live in a society that does not, and especially in where there's incarceration, mass incarceration, and all of that prevails, how much more do you need him to prevail in the hearts of man? And even before, you'll get in trial, they'll say, you put your hands on the Bible, so help me God. But how do you call on a God or try to have somebody to respond to a God that they do not believe in? But this is where we come in. This is where we step in, because we believe God and we know what he's able to do, and he will not fail. He will not let you down. He will vindicate according to his word. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will repay. There are people that have been in this situation, and so the Father knows how to deal with that situation on your behalf. So I'm going to admonish you, yes, not just look at this, you know, the criminal justice system for help, but also make sure that you run to him for help, because we can cast our care on him because he cares for us. We can lay our burdens on the altar. We can exchange our problems for his praise, and we can enter in that and bring that on the forefront and get the justice that he deserves.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Black Wall Street. What is Black Wall Street doing, Bishop G?
Well, you know, that's a great question, right? And a lot of times we allude to what took place in Tulsa, and but there was actually three Black Wall Streets that were known. The first Black Wall Street that came to the forefront was Black Wall Street, Richmond, Virginia, Jackson Ward. And the one that more or less considered the founder of that Black Wall Street, I stand corrected if I'm saying this history wrong, was Madam C.J. Walker. The women led the movement, and she being the first millionaire, Black millionaires, that came forth and began to show that we are not here just to survive, but we are here to thrive. Then the second Black Wall Street, proclaimed by W.E.B. Du Bois, right, is in Durham, and who that Black Wall Street was founded by Moore. His name was Moore, McDuffie Moore, and then that was proclaimed by W.E.B. Du Bois, and then the third Black Wall Street was the one in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was Son Wallace back in the day. So in that, but I think there's a deeper revelation that we need to look at concerning Black Wall Street and what Black Wall Street is about beyond that what was this, Tulsa was destroyed. We know that Tulsa at the time, Greenwood, set on the second deepest oil well in the world, and it was about the oil. They went after the oil, and they destroyed that so they could get the oil. But more than that, we see the legacy that was lost, and the people that were thriving did not have the opportunity to move that forth. I think that's the biggest tragedy that took place. But according to Ephesians 3:20, if you look at the scripture, it says that he will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that's at work within us. And I believe that is the Black Wall Street that's in every man. I don't care who you are. And Tulsa just happened to be an example of what God says in Ephesians 3:20, what took place in Durham, and that was William McDuffie Moore, and also in Jackson Ward. It's how we or not just there to survive, but we were there. We thrive. And even to this day, we thrive. God put it in all of us the ability, the choice to thrive when we do things his way. And when you look at Ephesians 3:20, you see an example of Black Wall Street physically. And I get to even take it or bring it even closer to home, look at Chinatown. All of that, all you see in these Chinatowns across the country is an example of what Black Wall Street was, what Black Wall Street did, what Black Wall Street is doing. You know, they talk about Black Wall Street, but in Oklahoma itself, there was over 50 black townships. And then it moved across the country. There was a lot of of things that were buried, that kind of a lot of history that was buried. But I tell you, God has created us to thrive, not just survive. He created us to change the destiny of a generation. He created us to move this thing forward and allowing him to have his way within us. And because he has his way in us, we're able to see the Black Wall Street in everyone according to the word. So I hope I answered your question.
All right. Okay. Thank you. So I guess my next question would have to be affirmative action. I'll go back to the NAACP president of Alabama. NAACP, what is the NAACP stance on affirmative action and what the Supreme Court has did?
That's another good question, Ms. Butler. The affirmative action, it's loosened its effectiveness in the country. I know a lot of people are saying, when I say a lot of people who don't believe in affirmative action are saying, well, we no longer need affirmative action. But that is far from the truth, because in our everyday lives, and we get complaints all the time about individuals being overlooked for promotions, for jobs, for opportunities. And if we don't have some kind of affirmative action process in place that will ensure that there's some equality when it comes to promotion, you know, we're going to lose. So we are continually to fight for affirmative action policies, you know, not only on national and federal, but also in state and local levels. And, you know, a lot of organizations have diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's kind of the new terminology, DEI. And I know I've heard recently some organizations are going away from that. Some companies are going away from that. But that was a way that they wanted to make sure that people of color, those who are overlooked a lot of time in the promotion process and hiring process, that they are included. And I think with this upcoming election, and I'm talking about the presidential election, we as people of color must turn out in large number to ensure that the United States does not go back to where we were during the 60s and 70s. And yes, we have come a long way. We have people who are blacks who are president of Fortune 500 companies. But there's a movement in this country that is trying to take us backwards. And all the gains that we have made will be lost if we do not continue to fight and demand that our elected officials pass laws, pass policies that will ensure that we are able to continue to have a seat at the table, but not only a seat at the table, but we are there when policies are made, and that our seat at the table is an effective seat, meaning that when we speak, we need people to listen to what we have to say, because we are in a fight. We look at what's going on at the Supreme Court level, and the Supreme Court is being stacked and by people who do not read the Constitution the same way that we do. It says that all men are created equal, and we must just continue to demand from our elected officials that they uphold the oath that they take when they take office, to ensure that all people are all people are treated equally in whatever position that, you know, they may be applying for. Now, as individuals, as people who are those students who are graduating from college and high school and going into the workplace. You know, we don't want you to just settle for anything. We want you to, when you get into those jobs, to, first of all, demand that you are, you know, promoted, that you get the good positions. But also, we want you to reach back and help those who have been downtrodden, help those who have been overlooked, and ensure that they are able to, you know, move up into the corporation. Because, again, the policies that we see that and the people who are talking, who are running for office, some of those individuals, I confidently say, don't have equality and equity in their heart, and that's not what they are for. And I know that a lot of talk about, in year 2030, the minority population and majority population will kind of switch. And there are those who are trying to hold on to make sure that that does not happen by passing laws and policies now that would deny equal opportunity to people of color. So we just need to be aware of that, and we need to make sure that we're not sitting on the sideline and that we're actually in the game on these issues. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, Ms. Hamilton. All right, everyone, that was the Alabama NAACP president that just got through speaking. We just had someone call in from the 757 area code. Will you please announce yourself? You please announce yourself from the 757 area code? We don't have to. Okay, so Reverend Lionel Gant, why does the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and you, what are you saying about affirmative action, and are you taking any steps to, are you suing or anything like that, or the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, or is there anything that can be done by the Southern Christian Leadership Conference
about affirmative action? On the national level, yeah, they are always fighting for us to have, more than just a seat at the table. It's, you know, people don't realize that the reason why they came up with affirmative action was to have us included, because most of the time we were excluded out of these things. You know, people forget about the blacks only, the whites only, no blacks allowed. They forget about, going to the back seat of the bus. They forget about all of these things that we've come through. When we look at the amount of black millionaires that we have today, we don't realize the work that went into getting there. You know, if we say that Dr. King's generation, fought for us to be included in the American dream, then it was our generation that had to fill those seats, that had to actually go to those colleges, those white colleges. It was our generation that actually had to go into the military and fill those positions in the military to become part of affirmative action we had to actually go out and do it. We had to be the ones that became the bus drivers, because when I grew up, there were no black bus drivers. All the bus drivers were white, even though they came into Atlanta, black neighborhoods. We had to become the Mecca of the South. We had to fill those positions. And a lot of people take for granted, as they see things the way they are today, they take for granted, where we came through and the things that we had to endure to get to this point. So yes, we're always fighting to be, you know, how would I say, you know, not just being at the table. It's time for us to have our rightful part. If America would live up to its constitution, you know, where it say that all men are created equal, you know, then it should really say that all men are created equal except Black America, except Black men, because we've been excluded in every situation. No matter the case with the quarterback Kaepernick, we see things like this that are happening right before our eyes, and we know that if that was a white quarterback, that would never be happening. We see so many cases that happen every day of our children being excluded from situations. So yes, we need to be real proactive about everything that we're doing today. And I will go back to what we were talking about with the police violence directed toward us. And my sister, I was glad to hear her come on. I'm familiar with her case, and she's been on my radio broadcast a few times. And the part that she didn't mention in that was the part that her brother's fiance or her brother's
baby mama
is a white woman, okay?
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, there's no charges. So we see how things get turned around differently when somebody white is involved with the police violence. With the police violence, you know, when the white police officers are involved, there's a whole other scenario. We had a black police officer that was involved in a similar incident. They were immediately charged. They were charged immediately. Okay, so we got to open up our eyes to deal with what's in front of us. And if you were asking me, you know. Are we equal today? No, we're not equal today. We're still, as my brother was saying, for the Black Wall Street, they're trying to take us back to the 1950s, to the 1930s. They're trying to take away every privilege that we fought for. They're trying to take them away right before our eyes.
Yes, sir.
Back
yes, sir.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we had a call drop. Somebody that was supposed to be on the panel, but that's okay. Maybe they'll call back in. So I was supposed to have some attorneys call. I believe that was one of the attorneys. I guess they didn't want to participate. Disappointed, but that's okay. All right. So police brutality. Police brutality, police murder. Now, police murder, police brutality. They're literally just crippling and beating people. I'm going to go to Bishop G of Black Wall Street. Mr. G, Dr. G, what do you have to say about the police officers beating these men and women, beating pregnant women and brutalizing them and killing them? Bishop G? Dr. G? Dr. G? Dr. G? Okay, he's still there, but he's not going to talk. So I'll talk to the NAACP.
Hello, Angela. Were you wanting me to answer that question? Okay.
Hello.
Yes, I wanted Bishop G, Dr. G, the foot doctor and president of Black Wall Street for the state that he's in, to answer that question about police brutality and police murder. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Ms. Butler.
Hi, Mr. Talking to Nelson. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I joined a little late, but I did want to insert something in response to, I think, what the bishop was saying a minute ago. Can I?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I don't agree that we're not equal, Bishop. Maybe we're not treated equal, but I would not agree that we're not equal. We're all equal in the master's eye. We're all equal in the creator's eye. So we should not succumb to that. Part of what's going on right now is that we are restricting ourselves because we have said to ourselves that we're not equal. And we need to stop saying that. As a matter of fact, because we continue to prevail even against these kind of mistreatment, it is saying something real powerful about us. We should not speak weak about ourselves. We should not say we are less than anybody else. That is very, we got to be careful with that statement. So I hear you. We in America and in this whitewashed world, maybe we're not treated as equal because that's their way. But that doesn't mean that we're less equal. And we need to be careful about saying that.
Yes, sir. And this is Mr. Positive Nelson. He's the former 6 or 7 time senator of the U.S. Virgin Islands. He's also been the United States Virgin Islands Agricultural Commission. Now he's an advisor to the governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands. Okay. Thank you for that, Mr. Nelson. NAACP President, Mr. Samilton, what do you have to say about police violence and police brutality? What is the NAACP doing on a state and national level to combat this? What I know there are a lot of lawsuits being filed, there are policemen being fired. Are you working with Washington, D.C., or the state of Alabama?
Yes. Of course, we work with the FBI, the Department of Justice, also to bring attention to these atrocities, I'm calling them atrocities, that are occurring to our black men and blacks in general, but of course most of them are perpetrated against black men. But so we are working with the Department of Justice and also getting back to that police immunity that we talked about earlier, we are trying to work with local law enforcement agencies so that they will, well, working with the local community to work with their local law enforcement agency to raise the issue up and to talk to the city council, talk to the mayors, talk to the county commissioners and the sheriff's departments about what they are doing and what we see as the solution to the problems that we experience. And one of the things that we are encouraging people to do is to form some type of police review commission or whatever you want to call it that will, I won't say oversee, but will review actions that are committed by police officers that deserve scrutiny beyond the department itself. You know, I know a lot of police departments, they say, well, you know, we're handling that internally, and that's good. But that is not good enough because it's almost like the fox guarding the hen house. So we need some outside agencies, the FBI, the Justice Department, and these police review commissions to come in and take a look at their policies, take a look at their training, because a lot of police department policies and their training, they're trained in a way that they're to be aggressive, you know, not to assume that a person is guilty when they're stopped. And when they come with that aggressive behavior, that causes a citizen to respond in that same manner. If you approach me and if I've committed, ran a stop sign or my tail lights out or whatever, if you approach me as a human being, if you approach me as an equal, I can respond. But when you come to me asking off-the-wall questions that are accusatory, you know, then, you know, I put up my defenses. And I'm not saying necessarily that you will win that situation, especially when you're out there just, you with a police officer or something. But, you know, police officers got to understand that people are human beings. Just because they wear the badge, they can't hide behind the badge saying that I'm a police officer, I'm going to tell you what to do, when to do it, and, you know, all those type things. And you got to treat people as human beings. You got to treat them with respect, and you will get that respect. And the other part of that is when they commit something, commit some kind of violation, then they must be held accountable, and the police department must hold their own accountable. But with that being said, Angela, I'm going to have to jump off, and thank you for having me on, but I'm sorry I had to cut it short, but I've got to jump off.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And President of Alabama, Mr. Thomason.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So he's answered all the questions he can answer. So I'm going to go to Dr. G of Black Wall Street. What is going on with the lawsuit with Black Wall Street? Do you know, sir?
Ma'am, same thing I talked about. We're a kingdom movement, and we share the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of God, and we make sure people that don't know him get to know him. And the question is, if there's anyone that's on the line this day and want to get the best version of themselves, they need the Father. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power that's at work in you now. And that's what we do. We make sure that the Black Wall Street in you, Ephesians 3:20, you are called to thrive and not just survive. Ooh. Are there any questions?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Yes. Hallelujah.
That's where we are, Miss Angela. We are a kingdom movement, and we decree and declare his goodness in the land, and that's what Black Wall Street is about.
Okay. All right. Okay.
You know, the word that God says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And that's our life, and that's our love, that's our passion, that's what we do. In Black Wall Street.
All right. That's your love. That's your passion. That's the truth. So yes, sir. You can say something, Mr. Nelson.
Okay. Well, I wanted to, of course, I totally agree with what the gentleman just said there. You know, nothing's going to work unless God is in it. We got to live a way that's suitable and pleasing to God, you know. And in saying that, when the gentleman was speaking prior to him, he got to be careful, and he seems to be saying that, oh, the police need to be respectful in order to be, you know, in order to earn respect. When they're out there on the streets, we don't want our young men or our black men trying to police on the streets. No, you got to stay humble until you get in the right place. But you don't want them up and about talking about how you respect me. No, we know they're acting stupid. We know they're acting out of character. But don't stand there trying to go foot to foot with them when you're out there on the road when they have the advantage. You follow me? We don't want to send a message. Yes, you're right. They should be respectful. They should be following the orders of the law because they are representatives of law and order. But we know that they're out of order. But we don't want our young men feeling the need to, you know, stand up to them when they're out there in the field. No. Wait until you get in the right place at the right time. Because acting up with them is not going to solve the problem. As a matter of fact, you might go from wrong to right. I mean, you might go from right to wrong. The message we gotta be careful in the message we send, especially to our young black men.
Yes, don't go toe to toe with the police while you're out there in the midst.
No, you're out there in their court. Yes, you wait until you claim. But I'm with the biggest statement I heard so far is what the brother just said. And I've told you this in our interviews before. We're talking about Americans out of order, from the police to the politicians to you name it, to parents and our young men. Okay, yes, there is police brutality. Yes, there's affirmative action. But if we're not taking the right action, if we're going to sit on the corner drinking 40 ounces and smoking weed and we're not taking advantage of the action, where sacrifice was made for us. Now, you know, it's sad that we're calling these things a privilege because the privilege was granted by God. No, we had a system here of government, which along with it, that was suppressing us, some of its citizens. And, yeah, we had to fight to get equality in that sense. But now that we have that, how many of our young people aren't even pursuing excellence? You know, that they are right just following all kind of wacky trends, using up their money, doing nonsense. You know, we got to speak the truth. It's not, I mean, we have all kind of rights and privileges. How many are taking advantage of them? Follow me? I get it. We have challenges. And I get it. There are obstacles to getting there. But we got to surpass those obstacles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got to surpass those obstacles. How do we do it, Mr. Nelson? I mean, you're a great role model. You've been Senator of the U.S. Virgin Islands 6 or 7 times. And you're a black man.
I'm a black man with dreadlocks, and I'm not only black, I'm dark black. I'm black. I'm dark.
Commissioner.
So how do we
It don't matter if you're dark. We're all black. Of us came from slaves. All of us came from Africa.
Well, see, that's they want you to believe that all of us came from slaves. We weren't slaves. Was not the sum total of who black people are. We were greater than slaves. So that's we got to change that narrative also. Yes, we went through that process. Many of our ancestors, but all of us came from slaves. Black people weren't just slaves. We weren't born in this world to be slaves. On the contrary, we were kings and queens. We developed around the narrative. You follow me? So the narrative is telling our young people.
I believe that the light skin of black people came because an African woman, a woman from Africa, a slave was raped. About a white man. Okay, I think we were all one shade, black people. That's what I liked. We were all real dark, and that our lighter skin, our brown skin, came from a raped woman.
Okay, so let me put it this way. So let me put it this way. Okay, when humanity was developed, the shade color of humanity, if they used the soil, must have been dark. I don't, you know, and this is going to sound contrary to what we're speaking on here, but, you know, I don't get caught mixed up in the shades because we come in all shades. Everybody, you might as well say the world is black. We may not look black. But all humanity came out of one spawned from the same source. You follow me? So I don't get in that shade, but we were talking about, when I mentioned that I was black, you were asking me how did I do it. I was only mentioning that my shade is dark. I have a real dark hue. Follow me? I have dreadlocks in my ears. So according to the system, I wasn't supposed to be able to been a senator, been a teacher for 10 years, been a senator for 14 years, and been a commissioner because people who look like me are supposed to be on the corner someplace with saggy pants, smoking weed and drinking 40 ounces, according to how the system have it. So you're correct. How did I do it? It wasn't nothing fancy. I just tried my best in school. It was through affirmative action. I got a scholarship to go to St. Augustine's College. If I didn't get that, I probably would not have gotten a higher education. In the college, I tried to, you know, stay out of much problem. It took self-discipline. That's how I did it. It took self-discipline. You know, and when I was working my part-time job, I remember skipping work one day just to hang out on the campus yard because some parties was going on. And in my mind, I was calculating my tips and the money I would have made that night compared to the money I was spending on nonsense. And I never did that again. So everything takes self-discipline. We can't blame the system. We can't blame anything. We can't blame our parents. We can't blame white folks anymore. It's us. Us being responsible from our parenting to everything else, to our relationships, everything else. Think about what we're doing here. We'll spend money on nails and hair, and we won't buy copybooks and pay for the workbook for our children. I was a teacher. You follow me? I'm not going to blame it on no system. When I saw Roots for the first time, I saw Roots. I was a young man when I saw Roots, the real Roots, not the dressed up one that they redid. And I said to myself, wow, that really happened? And black people really suffered like that? And I said to myself as a young black boy that I need to make something of myself because people seem to have suffered for us to have this opportunity. And that's what we need to put in our young men's head, that they need to make something of themselves other than a statistic that the system wants.
Yes, young women too. Young women too.
Yeah, but
young
I
women.
Say men, it's all inclusive. All inclusive. Men and women. I don't get in that sexist thing. Humanity.
Okay. Humanity. Humanity. Okay.
Yeah, I don't get in that men, woman. When I say men, I'm saying it all. So our children, our young children, our young black children.
Yes. So my next question would have to be, you said you made it through affirmative action. How do you feel about affirmative action in the Supreme Court's ruling?
Was there a new ruling
about the Supreme Court's ruling in affirmative action? You said you got affirmative action. The Supreme Court ruling here in America concerning affirmative action. How do you feel about it?
Was there something recently happened with affirmative action that I missed?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to understand me because I've been. What did they? They rolled it back.
They rolled it back. Yes, sir.
So I have mixed feelings on that. Okay. Of course, it's taking opportunities away from us, but at the same time, you know, we're using this thing as a crutch and haven't used it. Yeah, you know, we should try to make sure that, and any government should want to make sure that the indigent people have a way to lift themselves or the entire community, the entire society is going to pay for that. So maybe they need to rethink that. But that we need affirmative action. Our affirmative action needs to be in our action, in what we do as parents, what we do as individuals. That's the affirmative action. You know, God gives all of us potential. Our gift to God is to develop that potential. Too many of us are sitting on our potential, waiting for some handout, waiting for somebody to give it to us, and we have it. So I have mixed feelings about that. I agree that we should make way, and whether it's government or we are in our communities or organizations, do what we can to provide a way so that individuals can lift themselves up and the quality of life. However, to sit around waiting on some savior, we got to save ourselves. That's what God says. So, you know, it's time we get off our high knees and get to it.
Right.
Sorry if I'm sounding harsh, but that's reality, you know. I'm tired of everybody sitting around, especially black folks, blaming on the white man, and, you know, I can't get a job, but you come in looking to me. I was a senator. I was at a place to hire. But you can't come to me asking for a job, and you smell like weed as much as I'm an advocate, and your pants are under your butt. Why would I hire you looking and smelling like that? Follow me? Hell no. You follow me?
Okay.
Reality, real talk. Okay. And we need to be real with our children because the streets are real.
The streets are real, and the streets will destroy our children.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Gant. Yes, sir. What are you doing with Stop the Violence and Incarceration along with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference? I know you have an event there in Georgia I know you're saying you're trying to take it nationwide. So what are you doing with the youth? I know one time you had young men teaching young men to sell bottled water instead of crime and how to make money by selling bottled water. What else are you doing, sir, with the young people and with people in general?
Well, the SCLC, the Stop the Violence and Incarceration Campaign, is a nonviolent campaign designed to, you know, to reach the hearts and minds of the people. We've done an outstanding job at using the power of education and economic empowerment to change the mindset of those that would want to use violence and crime to create income. And we were totally successful. We got a young generation of people out here now that, you know, we challenge them to research. Whatever we tell them to research it, to go back and look it up. And this generation that is out here now, they're on fire. They're learning who they are. We have more people graduating from college. We have more females starting their own business than any other race in the nation. But now, y'all, some of the things that you all are not looking at is the fact that we are literally at war in this country, that they're literally trying to wipe us out, okay? Yes. They're using DNA warfare against us, biological warfare. And I did 21 years in the military, and my major, MOS, military occupational skill, was nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare. And right now they are using the food, the water, they're using these things to act upon our DNA, to sterilize our women and to sterilize our men. We are literally at war in America. When you say that our young people are not out here, you know, they brought the crack cocaine in our neighborhood, they meant for it to destroy us, but it didn't. We survived through that. I was in those neighborhoods. We opened up the shelters. We did the work that was necessary to stop the crack cocaine. Okay, we got involved in those things. Okay. It didn't wipe us out. They put guns in our community and guns on every corner. And we see like 20 people getting shot in Chicago in one day. Okay. They put us in those situations, but we have overcome those things. We are overcoming those things right now. Cause we went into the neighborhoods and we began to take direct action. And our battlefield was the hearts and minds of our people. We wanted to let them know who they were. Like you were saying earlier, that we were kings and queens, to get out of that slave mentality, that we are a great people. And the prime minister and their colleagues over in Israel, they had a panel discussion, and they asked them what's the greatest danger that's facing Israel today. And we're talking about the Israel that's overseas. We're not talking about the nation of Israel that's here in America today. And they said that the thing that they fear the most is the young black youth, that we are the greatest threat to them right now, because they are opening up their eyes. They come to the knowledge of the truth. They know that they are the chosen people of God. They know who they are now. They know what nationality they come from, and they are presenting a powerful threat to the rest of the world, because these young people that we're working with, they're out here being proactive. They're out here creating their own businesses. They're out here doing what they have to do. We're having revivals right now inside of the prison. The prisons are on fire in America right now. If they go to prison, the chances are they're going to be saved. Chances are they're going to meet the Lord. Because right now we're, you know, the prison system is on fire. And when they come out of the prison system, they're coming out with a positive mindset. So our youth, they're on fire right now. They're out here doing the thing. Oh, yeah, of course, just like in any other race, we always have those that want to sell dope. We got those that are out here that want to rob, want to kill. You got that small percentage that are out there. And that's what they want to show you on the news. But they're not showing you all these young girls that are opening up their own business. They're not showing you all these young men that are out here, you know, pushing the baby scrollers. You see the young men with their dreads in their head and they pushing the baby scrollers down the street. And then I pull one of the young men over and question him. I say, hey, you out here with your little youngins. And the children that he was pushing in the school, the children that he was taking care of, they wasn't his children by birth. They was his old lady's children. But he was acting as the father, taking care of those children. See, so there's a whole nother generation of young black people that are emerging in America right now. And the world is not telling you about that. But this is what we're doing on the streets of Atlanta. This is what we're doing in Chicago. This is what we're doing in Detroit. Okay, they'll tell you about the murders. They'll tell you about how many people got shot in Detroit today, but they're not telling you, you know, the positive side to those things, what's going on in the streets right now. Our people are on fire right now. They're on fire right now. They're there for proactive change, and that was the success of our SCLC Stop the Violence and Incarceration campaign, because we went where the people are. We went out there in the hard-hit communities, and we changed their mind, because our battlefield was for the hearts and minds of our people, and that's where we're fighting that right now.
That's where you're fighting, the hearts and minds of the people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, Ms. Fraser. Ms. Fraser.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You know, I was listening to you, and you've been on my show before, and this is open to the public. Anybody can call in. I really hate what happened to your brother. I'm really hoping and praying that you get justice.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to say something to the man from the NAACP, but he got offline kind of quick, because I wanted to ask him, you know, I came to you guys for help. And I was told, let the dead bury the dead. You know, I didn't understand it.
I understand. But he wasn't the one who told you that.
No, he wasn't. It was, you know, somebody in the NAACP office. He wasn't
okay,
the one
I got
that told me that.
Okay, hold on, Ms. Frey. I got somebody with the hand raised. Hold on, let me unmute him. I got somebody from 850 number. I'm unmuting you.
I am listening. I was listening to Reverend Dan.
All right. I saw they had a hand raised, so I saw the little hand icon. So, Reverend Dan, you know, you're doing great things. You and the Southern Christian Leadership Council are doing great things. Senator Nelson is doing great things. Senator Nelson, what event are you having tonight? I mean, not Senator Nelson. You're no longer Senator. You're an advisor of the U.S. Virgin Islands. You're an advisor to the governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands. What event are you having tonight, sir?
Well, on Sunday, I have a private business. On Sundays, I have an outback spot, a sort of outdoor event spot. And every Sunday, I have something called Serenity Sundays. Where there's music, food, drinks, and, you know, you sort of get people ready for that Monday morning work. They sort of get you to unwind, get charged up. And so we call it where your energy is nurtured. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Every Sunday I'm at the desk.
U.S. Virgin Islands. I'm going to have to visit U.S. Virgin Islands. One of these days I'm going to get to the U.S. Virgin Islands. I'm going to have you show me the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Yeah, it's not too hard to get. You don't need a passport to get here either, man. And guess what? It's dominantly black, black,
black governor, black teachers, black preachers, you know, black public officials. And we say that not because we are racist. We are who we are. We were owned by 7 different countries here in the Virgin Islands. We were the Danish West Indies before we became the U.S. Virgin Islands. So we 7 different flags flew over these little islands here. So here we are, survived, and we're here just trying to. My interest is to make sure that we have efficient government so that we're not dependent. And we can be as self-reliant as possible.
That's the mindset. Be as self-reliant as possible. Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with that. Not wanting to be dependent on all the countries.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything comes in on boats. That's not good. We got to be able to eat if the ships don't come. Got to be able to eat. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I thank you for the opportunity, though, Ms. Butler, and I appreciate sharing with the others. You know, I pray that God can keep everybody sustained and moving in the direction that we can, you know, achieve what our goal is. Quality of life. Yeah.
Better
at some point, we got to cross paths, yes. But I'm going to have to jump off here in a minute myself.
That's why I wanted everybody to come together. I want to see what everybody thought and what everybody had to say. To bring everybody together.
Thank you for doing it, okay?
I keep wanting to call you Senator President Nelson, but you've been Senator.
Once a Senator, it's okay. Once a Senator, always a Senator. Once a Senator, always a Senator.
You've been Senator for 14, 15 years, so I keep wanting to call you Senator. But you're a vibrant to the government. You were actual commissioner there in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And the Virgin Islands is beautiful.
Yeah.
Can I
ask him a question before you get off the line?
Oh, yes, sir.
Sir, this is Pastor Gant from the SCLC up here in Atlanta. And, okay, my thing is economics. How can we, black America, okay, in the U.S. here, work with you all, you know, economically to build our own economy?
Oh, man, you just asked me the magic question. Thank you for asking
that. All right.
So listen here. We keep looking at black America with all these millionaires and billionaire black folks we have.
Yes,
and here in the Virgin Islands, we have some packages. It's called the Economic Development, the EDC, Economic Development Commission. We are allowed here in the Virgin Islands. We can, your money pretty much, you get no federal tax, no state tax, no corporate tax for 30 years. We can give you those fringes.
What?
Come invest your money. Yes, because the U.S. government allows us to do this so that we have to rely less on them. So what we want is for you to come invest your money here, and these taxes
all right.
are allowed to you.
All right.
Yeah, so we need to talk more. I don't know how we need to exchange numbers. Write this down, 340-690-1748.
Okay, 340. I will get your information from
Sister
Angela. Yeah,
right, and we need to talk because, there's people, man, we turn people from rags to riches around here, and black America ain't coming to benefit off of this. You know,
okay.
I mean, they investing all over the place. They might as well invest here because it's like investing in their own and making money at the same time.
All right.
There's a lot of things we can do because we respect Atlanta, what's going on in Atlanta. Atlanta is like a black mecca, right? But
yes,
you're still
it
in
is.
The pit. Yeah, but you're still in the pit. You up there. Georgia is also one of the most racist states also. You follow me?
Yep.
You're in the pit.
Yes,
you're in the belly. What we have here is, you have a nurtured place where they left us alone out here, you know. So we were able to nurture ourselves, and though we have our shortcomings, and a PhD in America told me this. I went to school in North Carolina, and a lady with a PhD, she looked at me and she said, "Mr. Nelson, you don't know." She said, "You know why you're so different?" She said, "You grew up in a nurtured black setting. You grew up in a black society where your leaders and everybody were black. It's different." She said, "Even though I'm a PhD, I don't have what you have." And it's that little self-assurance, that little, you know, we didn't have that inferiority complex. Because we grew up here in a black majority, you follow me? And that's a difference. When we come to America, we operate different. We come up there, we're on the grind. We come up there to make our money and be gone. Follow me? You have a chance to come do it. I'm telling you as an island boy. I'm an island boy.
That's what I'm teaching. If we, as black America, with our income, if we come together with Africa, we come together with the islands, we come together with Central America, then we are the superpower. We are the economic superpower. We have the ability to do it, and that's what I want to do. I want us to come together.
We just need to keep talking, and we don't need to keep thinking our efforts, synchronizing our efforts together. And we got to accept this. We got to accept that everybody is not going to come from the same, you know, we shouldn't let religion separate us. We shouldn't let state borders separate us. You know, we shouldn't let our organization, whether fraternal, I'm in a fraternity, I'm a Sigma. We shouldn't let fraternal organizations prevent us. None of this stuff.
And I did
you know,
not.
So,
I didn't know,
say it again.
Okay, I'm sorry. Somebody's talking. Somebody was talking. I was trying to unmute them. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. But yeah, Ms. Butler, link me with the gentleman there that just asked for my number. Get my information to him.
Again, of Stop the Violence and Incarcerated, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference started by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And Stop the Violence and Incarcerated own program.
Connect us together because Dr. Grant from. For me, I have a non-secular approach. This whole positive is how I live my life. I have a story, you know. I sort of walked away before I crashed, and I think people are able to do that, but it's going to take some self-discipline, and we can talk about that some more. You know, this whole Cinderella story that's going on with me is a story. It's where I made a life change. I decided to follow God. That's when the brother was talking. I know the power of that. I gave God a chance with me, man, and everything you see happened after that. Is God. So that's when I walk with that confidence. Yep, though 1,000 encamp against me, I walk with God.
You do have a confidence that I only see on television, like it being like Mr. Roland Martin and Mr. Rayshard Ritchie on YouTube shows. You do have a confidence that is a self-assurance. That's not Americans who are raised in a racial, or completely interracial school, completely all white, counting city councils, all white teachers, maybe two or three black teachers, things like that. Your swagger is different.
Yeah, because they made you feel less. They made you feel less. You were swamped the whole time. Nobody in charge was ever your color. Of course, that's going to have an impact on your psyche. If nobody in charge is ever your color, what are you going to think? You know what I'm saying? You're going to think you can't.
Yes, sir. I did notice that in the interviews I've did with you, you have a swagger. You have a confidence that is not often found in every black person that I've interviewed, I talked to, because I've interviewed about 1,700 interviews. And that's not found in all the black people that I interview. It's a confidence there. And it comes from God also. But it also comes from being raised in a nurturing environment where you weren't called racist names and called the N-word.
We had a little bit of it, you know. We had a little bit of it, but I've learned to love my black self, man. I learned to love my black self.
Yeah, but like you were just saying, you came from a mostly black island.
Yeah.
So that made a difference. It really does, and it shows. There are a lot of successful black people. God knows there are a lot of successful black people.
Yep.
But
thank you very much. Thank you for just being a host and giving us an avenue.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right, everybody else. Have a blessed night, a blessed evening, and you know, let's just stay on the path. It ain't easy, but we can break through.
Yes, sir.
All right. Much love.
Reverend Gantz, what is the Southern Christian Leadership Conference doing about homelessness? Reverend Gantz. Reverend Gantz.
Yes.
How are you helping with homelessness? Is the Southern Christian Leadership Conference helping people to get homes? Are there any programs?
The SCLC is an organization that's made to support other organizations. There are other organizations that are connected to us that work in those fields, that work in those different fields. So
okay.
We are a platform organization.
What if an individual is homeless? What would the Southern Christian Leadership Conference suggest they go to get help with housing?
We would put them in contact with the individual nonprofit organization that are working in those areas. Because what they are a platform organization for all of the other small organizations that come to serve the people.
Okay, so if I give your number to someone, will it be all right?
We have to do it offline.
Have to do it offline? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right, because this person needs help with housing.
Okay.
It's a lady. All right,
and,
hold on.
In my ministry, the Life in Christ Christian Ministry, we work with shelters, with group homes, for those, and we work with all of them.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Baker, you on the line? Dr. Baker, you on the line? Yes, not. Okay. She's got noise in the background, but I will pass your number along.
Hello?
Who else is on here?
Hello, I'm Allison. Sorry.
I'm here. Dr. Baker, Reverend Gantt has said that he has a nonprofit organization to help people with housing. So I'm going to pass you his number along, okay? Dr. Baker? Hello? Okay, never mind. So, Reverend Gantt, you're the last person on the line, the last panel member on the line. Tell us what else you are doing. The president of the Alabama NAACP president has left. The only person left is you and Dr. G. Dr. G. Hi. Black Wall Street.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela about the Civil Rights Forum. If people were to become members of Black Wall Street, how would it help them?
That's a hard question to ask because, you have to find out what's his gift, what's his calling, what he does, what's in his heart, how can we help him? We give him a platform where he can express his gift, he can spread his wings and flow. We can do all of that. But it works both ways. You don't come with a hand out, you come with a hand up, and we can really work with that. Here it is, what's your initiative? What's in your heart? What's the gift of God in you? And let's make room for your gift. And let's see your gift take you to where God said it'll take it. It's time to pull the rope in the same direction. you know, is he a senior citizen? Is he a teen? You know, what's going on? You know, you need, you know, how can it help? You got to know who you help, who you're working with, you know, in order to move some things forward. Because I don't care who they are, you can't help everybody, but you, even though you desire to help. I mean, the person that gives me the most headache, the most time, the hardest time, the person that works against me the most are the ones that look like me. The ones that say, I'll do this, but, you know, do they? You know, you go out there, you put it out on the line, and all of a sudden they leave you stuck out. So, you know, you got to get some skin in the game. You can't come with just a hand out. You got to come with a hand up. This is what I bring to the table. Can we work? God created in us greatness. He said, Second Corinthians 4:7, that he put his treasure in earthen vessels. He put his treasure inside of us. Let's discover what that treasure is. He put inside of us that what it takes for us to be all we need to be, all we can be, all we need to do, you know. The decisions you make today determine how you live tomorrow.
Yes, sir, I understand.
I'm just saying, you know, who are we working with? Who are we helping?
You got to know something about them. Okay.
Well, I mean,
all
you
right.
Want to know something about them. You want to know something about them. You don't invite somebody in your home that you don't know anything about. Next day, you know, you may see some stuff you won't, because when the smoke clears and the dust settles, you know, I wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and rulers in high places. Listen.
All right. Okay,
the
I understand.
The enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. Like I say, so, you know, hey, we as a people, man, listen, Adam walked with God. Where life began, so did the solutions of life. Like I say, when you look at what you see, civilization, it came from those that civilized this world, and that was those that looked like us. We came from royalty. We didn't go to their schools to learn how to build a White House. No, we knew what to do then, you know, and it's still standing today. So that means it was a life thing for us, because we were used to building palaces and kingdoms. And so, like I say, this is a new breed of young people that are coming off. You know, coming forth, that said, hey, listen, all I need is a hand up, not a hand out, and we began to move things forward. You know, what are you doing to be the best version of yourself, no matter what it looks like?
Well, this is Pastor Jan. I would like to work with you all, because one of the things that we do is we deal with grant management. We hook people up with grants, and we hook people up with corporations and organizations based on what they're doing. Like you were saying, based on what they're doing, we look for the funding for those organizations, and we try to do things to help fund them. And provide grant writing for them to get those to get the funds they need to get their corporations off the ground.
I would love to work with you, sir. I'm dealing with an initiative now. My business is wellness, getting people well without taking the doctor home. There are things that we know, there are things that we can do. Right now, I'm confronting the issue with video game and as the new prison school to prison pipeline. You know, there's certain things that we have to come together on, but you know, and so these are some of the things that we're doing, and I would love to connect with you and move some things forward, because if it's to, you know, there's enough gifts inside of us that we could move us forward. See, and they keep lying to us and telling us we're the minority. That is not true. But they make you think like that.
That's right. Yeah.
We're not the minority.
We're not the minority, no.
No, we're not the minority. And so we just need to understand that. Brothers, let's work together. You know, don't come try to take advantage of me when I'm here to work with you. I'm here to pull you down the road so we could both get down the road. But my issue is always with the one that looks like me that I reach out to. Okay, we can help. We can do this. And next thing you know, they didn't burn rubber. They took the crumbs. So, you know, so you say, how can we help? Like I say, you can help somebody that's doing no matter what it takes to help themselves. You can pull along somebody there. They're going to do what they got to do regardless of you there or not. But then there's some that are out there looking for who they can take advantage of, the opportunities that may present itself this time, then go run and hide, you know. So we got to know that, so when you say who you're working with, hey, you know, I want to know who I'm working with.
Who you working with, okay. All right. Okay, I understand. Well, I understand what you're saying. I know you had called me and contacted me on Facebook, and I had interviewed you years ago, so I was grateful to hear from you.
Yeah, and see, what did I do with that interview? I became a best-selling author back in 2016. I got a new book out now, Meet Your Feet, so you could treat your feet. Now I'm working on another one, you know, spending some fun time today, you know, showing people how game for life, you know, and show you how you can get well in this new platform. You know, they got video gaming is so popular now that it has outgrown every sport in college but football. You got more people playing video games than you do basketball. And so
right.
With that kind of mindset, you know, so there's some things that can be worked. There's some things that need to be worked.
All right.
So in addressing those things, we do it, you know. I'd love to show the brother that's from the Virgin Islands, hey, we have a system that will show you how to keep your nation well. Naturally, touch therapy, you know. We'll show you how. We have that information now. I do the Egyptian method of reflexology. Hey, this is what kings and queens and what the pharaohs used to stay well. And it's an amazing healing art that doesn't have to be driven by medication. We could treat over 150 of these ailments from the bottom of the feet, all natural, because the body is designed to heal itself.
Yes, sir. What is your official? I know you're a doctor, but would you say the official title of what you do medically?
Oh, I'm a doctor in Egyptian reflexology.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All
right, Chinese, right? I'm telling you, it didn't start in China. The father didn't make a mistake and say, whoops, and put the answer in China. No, it went east. It went from where life began. The solutions of life were there. And that's where we are. That's where we start. Hey, and guess what? The information is not lost. The information is available.
All right. Okay, thank you. I'll pass the number to you.
If there's anyone interested, give them my number. We can talk.
Yeah, okay. Your number is, I'll give them your number.
Like I said offline, just let them call you and request it.
Okay, let them call me and request it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So, Reverend Gant, they're in Atlanta. They're in Georgia. Is there a lot of police brutality, and police murder? And have you been involved with any cases involving police brutality or police murder?
Yes. And what we did, we set up a citizen review board in every one of the police stations in the metro area, in Cobb County, DeKalb County, Fulton County, Forest Park. We established citizen review boards where we begin to watch the police. Just like we got the neighborhood watch, we got the police watch. So we're holding them, when I said the word accountability, we're holding them accountable for their actions. So if there's any things that are happening consistently, if we see any patterns that are happening, we have people that are actually in the guard mouth, in there when the police are going out on duty, we have people that are actually sitting in there listening to what's going on. And we're monitoring the police actions throughout every day. Citizen Review Board. And we want to try to do that across the nation. We want to do that all across the nation. Set up Citizen Review Board. To hold the police and accountability.
Okay. I know police are out of control. I know that much.
When you bring in the citizen review board, that knocks out a lot of that. When they know that there's somebody watching them and reading the police reports every day and making that stuff available to the media, it holds them accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that needs to be established all across the country. That is true. That is so true. You told the truth about it. That needs to go all across the country. It should not just be there for a select few. That should be all across the country. Citizens Review for the police. Accountability for the police. Disqualified immunity is what's getting me. I know you can't do anything without God. I get that. You have changed the hearts and minds. Amen. I get that claim. Mm-hmm. I got to understand. Dr. G from Black Wall Street, president of Black Wall Street. I'm seeing you, Reverend Gant. But police qualified immunity is ridiculous. They don't even qualify, most of them don't even qualify for qualified immunity. The police don't. They're not even qualifying for qualified. And what makes them bad, sometimes they look like us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're not even qualifying for qualified immunity, and but yet they're getting qualified immunity.
Well, there's a lot of things that plays into that. I mean, we got to realize that we've been at war. When they declared war on drugs, you know, they literally declared war on us. And see, you know, because you know, when you look at the war on drug policies, I mean, it's about thick as a Bible. You know, there are things like that came into play where they were allowed to put the cameras in the street light. They were allowed to, if there's anything that has drugs involved, then they are automatically allowed to use lethal force. And I was a military policeman in the military. So I know they go to the same school that we have to go to. And what they're doing now is they have a complete authority under the under the drug war. If you're in a high crime, high drug area, then that gives them the right to utilize lethal force, okay? And then they also passed the law. They also passed the law about being able to defend yourself, with the Trayvon Martin case. You familiar with that?
Here in Florida, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they have the right to utilize to use force to defend yourself. Now that worked for them, but how did that work for Black America? Yep. See, that's a different side of the story. What do they call that law? They call it the
Stand Your Ground.
Stand Your Ground, yes, Stand Your Ground. What happened when we stand our ground?
it doesn't end up well. It doesn't end up well.
Yeah, but that's another law that's in effect. And it's mostly enforced in our community. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, it doesn't work well. It doesn't work well. I just know that I just know that the police brutality and the police murder is out of proportion. And mm-hmm. Bishop F and Dr. G, the bishop, Black Wall Street, you know, he believes in God. I understand that you believe in God. You've opened up, what, 80 churches, 60 churches, 40 churches?
And I've been associated with a lot of churches, yes.
You have opened a lot of churches, associate, yeah, and yes. appoint pastors and things. So all I'm saying is, it's just out of proportion. That's all. But Black people are suing. They have review boards or review commissions, review boards. So that's helping. That's really right. Helping. So that's a blessing.
And the citizen review boards is something that we got to push for legislation across the country, because once the police are held accountable for their action, once they have a citizen review board, that somebody that's watching them, it changes the scenario. It's been very effective here, so I know it's going to be effective across the country.
Are you saying that needs to be law?
It needs to be, yes, it needs to be done across the country.
Okay. All right, okay. Well, I believe Bishop G, Dr. G, he's got off the phone. I believe he just texted me. He had to go. So,
I thank you for inviting me, and I'm glad to meet the people that I've met, and I look forward to working with them in the future.
Ms. Fraser.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you ever get an attorney?
No, never called me back yet. I'm still just like, I don't know what's going on. I tell my story, you know, people tell me they're going to get back with me, but haven't got back with me yet. But he did get the paperwork. So it's just a waiting game.
Just a waiting game. Do you believe he's going to contact you?
I got faith. I can't do nothing but have faith.
Yes. I wonder what the paperwork says.
I do too.
Yeah,
I want to know what the paperwork they sent me, because they wanted me to send that paperwork to them, you know. And everything, and I, you know, they just, along with the NAACP, the people up there, it's just like, it's a playing match game. You know, you try to call them, they don't answer. You know, this and that. They tell you they're going to get back with you. You know, they don't. Then they tell me, well, this is what the autopsy said. Okay, but I have paperwork saying something else. So y'all need to be held accountable. If you gave me some wrong information, you need to be held accountable for that. You work with the plebe, you shouldn't get nothing wrong. You shouldn't send me inaccurate paperwork. And then you're going to tell me y'all paperwork ain't always accurate? No, that don't sound right to me. Them already flagged.
Yes, and I believe it has everything to do with the paperwork.
Yes, and it's sad to say, but it's just like they sending their women to kill our black men. I'm sorry. And they get away with
it. The other lady, I know it's supposed to be a civil rights woman. When I talked to the other lady, she kind of leaned toward the same thing.
Yeah.
And then
on top of that, they branding them. They're not only killing them, they branding them. What does that mean?
Brand means Satan, I guess. That pitchfork symbol means.
So you telling me we live in the world where they say justice for all, but they can get away with killing us, but if we did that to them, we would be hung, we'd be beat, we'd be all bad. If there was her laying on that ground dead, you better believe my brother was still alive. They would have beat him and some more stuff. They beat him because he with her anyway, and then they would have killed him because she dead. And
that's
then I'm
true.
Not understand when I come to my black leaders to help me, they don't help me. They don't help me. They tell me, like NWACP, well, we can't help you with anything like that, you know, and this and that. We can get in contact with the chief, and the chief told me, and he tried to start arguing with me, saying that, okay, this is what the autopsy said. I said, sir, I got paperwork saying something else. All I'm asking you to do is, you know, my first beginning, all I asked him to do is to go and oversee my brother's case over again, you know, because it's something that is not right up there. You don't find a black man dead on the front porch butt naked. That's some racist stuff. That's a hate crime. I don't care how nobody put it. You don't find nobody like that.
No, ma'am, you don't.
All I want to do is for my black people to stand in the line, because that's letting you know we is not exempt from them killing us. When are we going to get together as one, as a whole, and protect each other?
Okay. I hope you get an attorney, and I was supposed to have attorneys on the call tonight, but they dropped off the call before I could get to them. So, All right.
Well, my sister just passed again. You know, you can feel free to call me, but I've been in the hospital, so I just had heart surgery, so.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but you can call me. Keep me in the loop.
I will, because you know I did all that. I did all that paperwork to get my niece, and I still didn't get her. They still play games with me. I paid all that money out to get that baby, and they still left her where she was at.
Okay.
I'm sitting up here with her look. Presents in the closet and, you know, and stuff like that. The stuff I bought her, I can't even give it to her. They won't let me speak to her.
You got to find out what's going on with that. Why?
Yeah, I want to know why. And then, you know, I'm dealing with something with mental health. I went through the doctor, and I don't know why they want to say every black person be on drugs. You know, I told the doctor, she's a new doctor, and the way she came to me was just totally wrong. So I did a grievance on her, and I want her fired because she not only did me like that, she did some more black people like that. They let you know she racist.
Yeah. And that's how they get paid. That's how they know to be in the medical building too, because that's how they get to be.
Yeah, and I told them, I don't want no racist person dealing with me. She's racist. She not only did me like that, she did some more black people like that. So, you know, I'm asking them for a copy of the grievance because if they don't get rid of her, yeah. Because I done went through so much, and then for her to sit up her and label me like that, you label me when you seen me because of my skin color.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you for coming on. Le Butler, Reverend Lon again.
Yes. All right.
All right, everyone. I'm gonna start winding down the show. We've addressed police brutality, the Citizens Review Committee is what Reverend Lionel Gang is saying should be implemented throughout the country. We've talked to the Alabama NAACP president, and we've talked to Dr. G, which I cannot pronounce his name right. I apologize for that, everyone. I apologize for my mispronunciation of his name. But he's a great man, doing great things. So is Reverend Lionel Gant, the NAACP president, and senator. Well, he's not a senator. He's been a senator 7 times. When he came on my show, he was a senator. When he came on my show, he was Agriculture Commissioner of the U.S. Virgin Islands. I've been telling them, I'm coming to the Virgin Islands, and I haven't got there yet. So I've been coming to the Virgin Islands about 3 years now. And it's right here in the U.S. And I still have one. They've got beautiful beaches, though. Beautiful white sand beach. Oh, it's beautiful there. And you don't need a passport. It's beautiful there. Okay, everyone. I'm going to wind down the show. We got about 10 minutes left. Is there anything anyone would like to say?
No, I'm good.
Is there anything anyone, any questions anyone would like, last remaining panel member, Reverend Lionel Gant? All right, everyone. I'm going to end show talk with Angela Butler. Thank you all for coming to the Civil Rights panel.